Backseat Box Office, episode number 33, for the weekend of May 6th through the 8th, 2011.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you're listening to Backseat Box Office.
And I got two things I want to get out of the way real quick.
I've got a couple things, too. Go for it.
All right. Well one, maybe I'll steal your two.
Maybe. Go.
All right. One, congratulations to Riven Sindriel, the first non-host, non-asterist, still screwed that up, who has surpassed all three hosts.
That's true.
And then number two, mentally, I'm very, very sorry.
We all feel really, really bad. I didn't even want to post that.
And if we could change it, we would, but...
And actually, we did a little bit.
Well,
I mean, to be honest, we did. There was a slight change there.
And I got to tell you, to this day, I still wake up screaming, drenched in sweat, thinking about Take Me Home Tonight. So I imagine, I have an idea of what you're going through, and I'm very sorry.
All I got to say is, Brent and Ralph better not meet mentally in a dark alley. I have a feeling there will be man bits left in the alley, and she will sing gleefully as she walks out.
Yeah, because that voicemail her and her father left was fantastic.
Oh, it was awesome. It was absolutely wonderful. All right, so my two things. One, happy Cinco de Mayo, because we're recording a day late.
Yay, Cinco de Drinko.
Yes, I am drinking, let's see, it's Herencia de Plata from Mexico. This was acquired on my parents' trip last year to Mexico, so I'm drinking that. And I had the brainstorm that I might try to mix it with a little bit of the Dude vodka. Because I'm thinking, you know, lemon lime is kind of, you know, like the lime you have for margaritas. It's not It's not bad. Huh. And it's got quite a kick to it.
You know what I respect about you, Tony? Your seasonally themed alcoholic beverages, whether it be candy cane shot glasses with peppermint schnapps, or for God's sake, Mountain Dew vodka with whatever.
Tequila.
I'm impressed.
Tequila. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to celebrate appropriately for the season.
I need to take lessons. I need to step up my game.
You do. It's a skill acquired over time. And I have a few years on you, so it'll come.
Ooh, I had a third thing.
Okay.
Jonathan?
Yes.
I hate you.
Don't hate me. Hate the runes.
The runes can... the runes gave you 75% accuracy. What is up with that?
That was pretty fantastic. That was pretty fantastic.
Well, you know, I saw you picked Hoodwinked at number 3. That was the first thing I noticed when I was looking at the returns. I was like, ah, sucker, he's going to suck this week. Then I looked at 1, 2, 4, and 5, which were perfect, and my hatred started to grow. It blossomed.
And then it turned out that I was on top of the scores and...
For the week, yeah.
For the week.
And then I decided that you're a witch. Oh, no, wait,
that's me.
That's Warlock, sorry.
That's true.
Well, one of you's a Warlock, one of you's a witch. I don't care which.
Wait a minute, that means one of these things is not like the others. And it's not Jonathan and I. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm a very nice Christian boy. I don't practice in the black arts like you do.
Where is your God now when it comes to your picks? You. Come on.
Goody Taylor did not see me in the forest consorting with the devil. I'm just saying. She did not.
All right, so...
go ahead.
My second thing, since you blocked me on that earlier. So, are you guys aware that Thor is actually in release right now and has been for a week?
In Australia.
In the UK.
In the UK?
Yes.
Well, it was also being shown last week at certain places too.
Yeah, but it was in full release in the UK.
I want to say Slice of Sci-Fi, where they were talking about it, had a caller that said it was really good.
I kind of poked into this a little bit. They actually had a really good reason why they did it a week earlier there than here. Hmm. So, one, Marvel always shoots for the free comic book day release weekend for their superhero movies, and they've done that for years. That there's a Marvel movie that drops during free comic book day weekend.
Right.
The second reason was because in the UK there was this little, you know, wedding thing going on last weekend that was such an event that businesses were giving, and I think nationally they had like 3 and 4 day weekends because of it. They actually gave people off of work like a 3 and 4 day weekend. So the movie studios wanted to capitalize on that, so they bumped the release date up over there to capitalize on the 3 and 4 day weekend.
Hmm. How'd it do?
It did well. It did really well. I'm going to say it already has 100 million in worldwide sales before it even opened in the U.S.
So what you're saying is that after watching the royal wedding with their wives and girlfriends, a bunch of Englishmen headed out to went to the pub, had some drinks, then headed to the theater to see some Thor.
It was their testosterone injection.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah, it was their shoot 'em up under the bed.
That's right.
Thor's hammer. Just the hammer is not the hammer. The hammer was their collective peni.
I just saw Shoot 'em Up on Monday, actually, so that's kind of entertaining.
I still haven't seen it yet. I do need to watch it.
It's all right.
It's ridiculous.
That's like, what I've heard. I've heard it's one of those things that if you think about it, you will be really disappointed.
It's yep. It's gun porn. I mean, is really what it is. It's
so yep. So like
in carrot porn.
Yeah. Equilibrium. But
that exists pretty much already.
That's true. That's true. So it's like Equilibrium. Have you ever seen
I haven't
that?
Seen Equilibrium, but let me the point at which I was like, all right, I absolutely have to stop all mental processes while watching this movie. There's a point where Clive Owen, that's the main guy, right?
Right.
Yep. Yeah,
Clive Owen is trying to rescue a baby from a sniper. The baby is on a spinning wheel, one of the in the playground on like the
merry-go-round
thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
He rescues the baby by running at the merry-go-round, shooting the handle so that it spins until it is spinning so fast that it flings the baby into his arms.
That is awesome.
He does it all with bullets.
Yep.
That is genius.
You see, you held on longer than I did, because for me, I turned the old brain off in the first, I'm going to say, 8 minutes after he killed a dude by ramming a carrot through his eye socket.
See, I can almost kind of buy that. Like, there's a point where a surgical procedure happens with a bullet, and, you know, at that point it was like, okay, maybe there's something... maybe there's something going on here that I... But I was still kind of like, well, mate, I don't know whether... You know, I don't know. And then, you know, there was that part of me that was like, all right, look, maybe I should really be continuing to watch this and deconstruct it and do all the stuff that I'm learning to do in school and whatnot.
Nope.
Then I hit the playground scene and I was like, yeah, we're done.
Turn off the brain, pop some corn, and just have some good times with it.
Yeah.
It just kept getting more and more ridiculous.
That's cool.
It much like David, it continued to escalate.
If Batman Begins teaches you nothing else, it's all about escalation.
That's right.
Well, so how did the movies do this week there, sir?
Well, Fast Five, which as you guys know, I was a little excited about, dominated the box office with $86.1 million.
And did you see it?
You know, I have not. I was traveling this past weekend. I was on the road. I was seeing family. I did not get a chance this week's, but work's been crazy.
You're starting to sound like me there.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping tomorrow night work should be calm and I can go maybe go see a double feature of Fast Five and Thor. But anyway, number one, Fast Five. Number two, Rio. holding the second spot with a, you know, a massive $14.7 million. Number three, Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family dropped from 2 to 3 with $9.8 million. Water for Elephants dropped a spot to 4 with $9.3 million. And Prom debuted at number 5 with $4.7 million. Hoodwinked, out of interest to people who picked it, Hoodwinked opened at number 6 with $4.1 million. And it seems like there's one other movie that opened this weekend. What? But I don't see anything on my screen.
Yeah. That was...
Well, let me scroll down. Let me scroll down.
Keep going.
You know, you can't claim to have sympathy for mentally and then...
and then taunt her this
then
way.
Then taunt those people who had the unfortunate luck to pick Dylan Dog in their top five.
You see, that's my dichotomy, because on one hand, I'm a nice guy. On the other hand... We're supposed to be entertaining people, too.
On the other hand, you're a dick.
On the other hand, we are all kind of douchey to each other.
Well, to each other, certainly. And yeah, if Jonathan had picked Dylan Dog, I'd be doing a little dance and, you know, video casting it. But I do feel bad for Middling. So
not to rub more salt in the wound, but there was a reason why Dylan Dog wasn't part of the rooms. I didn't expect it to do quite as badly as it did. I was thinking, like, guaranteed not the top five, but I was thinking top 10 theoretically.
I think I even mentioned something about it maybe not even cracking the top 10. I certainly never thought it would be as far down as it was.
No, I didn't. To make
as little money as it did, period.
Yeah, as weak as the movies that are in the top 5, top 10 are, I would not have expected Dylan Dog to open at number 18 with 754,000.
17.
My scoreboard says 18.
Unless things changed, it ended up at number 17 that I saw.
17 is The Lincoln Lawyer with 789 million.
Then what's 16?
Arthur with 1 point, with a million even.
Then things changed at some point, because when I did the scoreboard, it was at 17.
You know, let me click over to my weekly column and see if it changed from when I did that. Oh, wait. Never mind. It wouldn't be on there. Anyway. Sorry.
Man, that you was, really are a dick.
That was, wow. That was inadvertent.
What an ass.
Man, I tell you what.
Make him work a lot one week and he turns into a complete tool.
I know, jeez.
I'm going to sit quietly for a little while.
Yeah, you do that.
I'm going to brew up some chamomile milk. I'm going to brew up some tea. See, now Mentally can call in and mock my speech impediment. So. We'll be evens.
I think that is a great idea.
Karma has stole your tongue.
I think Mentally absolutely ought to. Speaking of... having people call in and mock the host. I didn't realize that I needed to be listening quite so closely to the call-in show. Tim, I mean, it's a couple weeks ago, but just want to say I'm paying attention now. So bring it, because I can do this.
You know, one of my favorites was one week when Jeff had called in, and at the end of his message he said, "Now there's no movies opening from Relativity this week, so I expect Andrew to dominate." I love the results show.
Yeah, and see this, the one that dropped today was that. Jeff apologized for not giving picks, I think it was the week before last, because he was attending a Relativity media job fair.
That one hurt a little bit.
Because, you know, they need some talent there. They need the help.
I'm not going to argue with that.
I have checked the list, and yes, Dylan Dog is officially on Box Office Mojo at 18.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
No. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter. We bought him the score out at 0. And that would have just meant that it would have been a negative 3 instead of the negative 2 that I had, so.
Well, and at this point, going back and changing people's score would just be... It would just be bad, even for me. Even I find that morally abhorrent.
Well, I mean, you know, there is, it's not good, but there is that moment of fame. No one will ever be able to take that title away from her. So
the first, the lowest, the first yeah. lowest.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I want to check in with Uriah because he wore that badge.
I know he was really happy about that. You know,
well, he even made mention on the comments about that.
Wanted to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, in the comments of the show that was released on Wednesday this week. So 2 days ago by the time this is being released. And he said, hey, mentally, don't sweat the low scores. I've been able to make a bit of a comeback from my ridiculed low score earlier this year. I'm sure you can pick it back up. You've been consistently brilliant at this box office picking business. More consistently brilliant at this box office picking business than I have, so it shouldn't take you long. So,
yeah. Well, and
that was nice.
Looking at her picks for the week, they don't differ too much from mine. So, you know, I have faith in her ability to rebound.
And see, and always the optimist, Uriah says. And on the upside, after you get kicked to the curb by the box office, you can realize that it's a perfect excuse to make completely insane guesses. After all, it can't get any worse than it already has been.
That's some wisdom right there.
But you know
I say throwing business cards with titles written on it.
You know, I wouldn't even call Mentally's guess insane because I saw advertising for that. I saw a lot more advertising for Dylan Dog than I saw for one of our top three wide releases this week.
Prom?
No, this week coming out.
This coming week. Well, you know, and if you look at our top 10, you only need to pick up $2.5 million to break in. And I certainly thought Dylan Dog would be in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah. It was a rough go. But apparently it's a successful movie because of like the run it had overseas, which is where it came from. Like it's a graphic novel, but apparently it was a graphic novel that was popular in Europe, in a specific European country that I'm blanking on right now.
I believe the author's Italian.
That's quite possible.
I'm pretty sure from when we looked it up last week. I'm pretty sure it's an Italian author, so that might have been
that's probably it.
Took off.
Yeah. All right. So how did we do,
Jonathan?
Jonathan, I think the onus is on you.
Well, I believe that as has already been mentioned a couple of times, I had 1, 2, 4, and 5 correct. And the cards decided to play a little trick on me and put Hoodwinked in Madea's spot at number 3, and that gave me a 22.
Yes. Yeah, you were minus 3 points, so you had a 22.
So there you go. So, you know, when in doubt, trust fate.
That's fair. Because it was better than the 21 that I got by picking Fast Five at number 1, Madea at number 2, Rio at number 3, Prom at number 4, and Hoodwinked 2, Hood versus Evil at number 5.
It was also better than the 21 I pulled in, picking Fast Five at number 1, Rio at number 2, Prom at number 3, Madea at number 4, and Water for Elephants at number 5. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, overall, this was also a fairly crappy week for everyone. Scores were down. Granted, there may have been someone or a couple of people bringing the curve down.
Easy.
But if I'm not mistaken, the 22 that Jonathan got was tied for the highest. That's just off the top of my head because I'm not actually looking at the scores.
That's how I roll.
Yeah, you know, I say we just never speak of this again and move on with our lives.
now that I am looking at the scores, Mark J. and Jonathan got 22. Those were the two highest scores.
Now can we move on so I can have my green chili?
Let's do this. Yep. Yes.
We have Trace movies debuting in wide release this week.
We do.
Oh, look at you busting out the Spanish.
Hey.
I'm going to get in and talk about the one that I'm most interested in, of course. And
jumping the broom.
How did you know?
I'm good like that.
No, just to throw off your...
It's a wedding. It's a wedding comedy. It's a boy from the bad side of the tracks and a girl from the good side of the tracks. Who's not in love with this story? Come on.
You have to understand, Andrew, that I know everything about you. I watch you while you sleep and take notes.
That is horrifying.
The scary thing is he has had the opportunity to do that with me.
and probably did.
But most likely.
There's probably videotape of you on his hard drive sleeping.
There's videotape of other things that happened in that room, so yeah, probably.
Probably. Alright, so Thor. No, I'm very pumped about Thor. It's opening in a boatload of theaters. It's trading extremely highly on HSX. Thor, based on the Marvel comic book of the Nordic warrior god, he's banished by his father Odin to live life as a normal human. Obviously, I think from the previews, it breaks from the old school Marvel canon, but I think everybody's pretty much okay with that when it comes to comic book movies. So
yeah, I think that they're establishing a new canon for the movie universe that they've built. And from what I've seen, it looks like it's going to be pretty good. I'll be honest, I was looking a lot more forward to Captain America than Thor, but the more and more I see of Thor, the better it looks. It just looks better every time I see more footage from it.
Yeah, I am most excited about Captain America, but Thor's here now, and I have to wait for Captain America, so...
Yes. Hey, Saturday, free comic book day, and Thor. Come on.
It's going to be a busy day.
It is. I've already got the plans laid out.
Now, I'm sure Jonathan's just dying to tell us all about Something Borrowed.
Oh, sure. It's a movie.
Indeed.
It's based on a book.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know that because Julie read it. So
you're going to see it this weekend, huh?
I'm going to assume it has something about a wedding.
Yep.
Maybe something blue in it. There you go.
Probably.
Yeah. I think that's a good enough description.
It stars Jennifer Goodwin. I think that's the only thing you were missing.
I don't even know who that is.
Nope.
It's the lady starring in Something Borrowed. Did you guys not catch that?
Significant roles of hers include.
I just had a flashback to Adam, the Superman recording we did last night, which will be released on Monday. I don't even know who that is. I almost reached across the table and punched him a few times.
Who are you talking
about?
It was
bad. First it was Jackie Cooper. Then it was... then I said John Cryer, and he's like, who's that? It got to the point he was doing that anytime a name was mentioned, whether he knew the person or not. And there were things like... So we started the episode, and I said, yeah, and because we were supposed to do Godfather last night, but he and Daryl just couldn't be brought to... They didn't do their homework. So we had to call an audible, and we pulled Superman out of the air. So I started the episode by saying, yeah, so we replaced one movie that was written by Mario Puzo and featured Marlon Brando with another one written by Mario Puzo and featured Marlon Brando. And Adam looked at me and goes, I don't think either of those things are true. I said, no, they're both true. So he had to actually look them up, and then he was, of course, proven wrong.
Nice.
And it happened a few more times. One time was we were talking about the other sequels, and I said, Superman 4, which had John Cryer in it. And he's like, who's John Cryer? So then he's like looking up, and he goes, oh my God, John Cryer was in Superman 4. Like it was new information that he was announcing. I said, I just said that. Come on. Why would you doubt? Especially me. I was wearing my new Superman hat last night.
Because it's David. That's why he knows.
Yeah, he's what he does. Tool. Anyway.
That is also what he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, let's move on, because like I said.
Yeah.
Green chili.
Make
why
it happen.
Is it green?
Because.
Why is it not?
Shut up.
Stuffer.
It's waiting for me and I'm hungry. So let me tell you my list, because I don't care about these movies that are coming out, except for Thor, and we are.
Oh, yeah.
Who the hell doesn't already know what that movie's about? So.
We were about to have words before you put that proviso in there.
My list.
Go for it.
Because I already know that I had to go first. So I, you know, wrote it up 2 minutes ago. Number one, I'm going to go with Thor. I think it can overcome Fast Five, despite the ridiculous opening that Fast Five had. At number two, Hoodwink. No, wait, sorry.
What? What?
Fast Five at number two. Then I'm just going kind of down the list. Something Borrowed, I'm going to say, comes in at number three. Then Jumping the Broom at number four, and Rio at number five. I really have no confidence in any of those movies, but there you go.
All right.
Okay.
And I'm throwing down Thor at number one. I think it's going to bring in around $75 million. Fast Five, I think it's going to drop about 40-50% coming number two. I think Rio is going to be number three. I think Something Borrowed is going to be something at number four. And then, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and throw Jumping the Broom in at number five.
All right. So I'm going to take a slightly different take than both of you on this. Thor at number one. I think Fast Five is going to drop about 60%, because it is... The franchise of films has consistently dropped about 60% in its second week. So, Fast Five at number two. I think Something Borrowed has a little more behind it because of its advertising that I think it can push past Rio. So, Something Borrowed at number three. Rio at number four. And I was kind of on the fence with either Water for Elephants or Jumping the Broom at number five. But I think Jumping the Broom ended up winning out for my choices. So there you go. Thor, Fast Five, Borrowed, Rio, and Broom, as my notes say. Since I can't be bothered to write, you know, phrases. I just write words. Got to be concise.
You don't want to waste any time. You are a busy man.
I am a busy man. I had to plot ways to get this color Nook.
I've been planning this for weeks. Jump on my list, but then I had to add Broom to remember what I was talking about there.
That's fair.
Now, Jonathan, did you see my tweet about a certain video game earlier in the week?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
It's about time.
Now have you cracked it open yet?
This weekend.
All right.
I'll have time this weekend.
All right. We'll have to have a report back on that.
Yeah. I will be proud of you when you play it, because I've been harassing Sam on the way of the game for months, because he has owned the game for months and has not played it. So when you play it, I will be happy with you.
Well, that's actually motivated me.
When I was on Way of the Game, I even talked to him. I was like, "Yeah, so like those levels in Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions."
To not play.
Well, he's played Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, and one of the four dimensions you play in is the Noir dimension. And I swear to God, the level designer for Spider-Man Noir is exactly the same level designer as Arkham Asylum was.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous how closely playing those levels are to each other. And that's not a bad thing at all. Mm-hmm. That is actually a very, very good thing.
But, yeah, I mean, that was Sam's favorite part of Noir. A part of Shattered Dimensions.
Yeah, was the Noir. Yes. And playing Batman Arkham Asylum is fundamentally like playing a whole game that's just the Spider-Man Noir section of Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you my motivation, because I was mowing my lawn Thursday before heading out of town, because, you know, it was crazy. It was like a jungle out there. And I'm listening to you two, like I don't hear you enough, talk about video games and Way of the Game. Oh, by the way, if you don't know, Tony Gesso said in Way of the Game, go listen to it.
And but, apparently, I was pretty spectacular. I'm just
from the
feedback that has come down that I've seen, it was spectacular.
Stole the show,
apparently.
Upstage.
I need to start doing a fourth podcast now. But a fifth, if you count Tony's losing it, which I seldom do anymore. But
when you guys get to that part when you're talking about this noir yada yada yada, and Jonathan calls me out by name, I'm like, fine. And so I get back from town on Sunday night late, and so Monday after work I swung by and picked it up for like $15.
That's not bad. Did you get the Game of the Year edition or just the...
No, I did not. Okay. I picked up the regular.
The Game of the Year edition's interesting, the one that I had, because I have actually traded it in. But it had a 3D filtering that was done on the game after the fact. So, like, you could play the game in 3D with the bicolor 3D glasses on.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
I did notice that. I compared the boxes, but Game of the Year was twice the price.
You know what? It was one of those things that was really interesting for about 5 minutes, but it was distracting, especially when you're trying to crawl around in dark areas, because those bicolor glasses actually were... that. You couldn't see everything well.
Yeah.
And what you could see was 3D, but you just couldn't see well enough in certain areas of the game.
The thing about the Game of the Year edition, too, anyway, is that unlike a game like Fallout or Borderlands or any of these various games that have a ton of extra downloadable content and new quests and new side things and that
right.
kind of, like, as far as I know, Arkham Asylum never got anything beyond a couple of extra challenges.
Right.
Like, that's not worth the extra money. So.
Yeah, right. From the box, it seemed like the main additions were the 3D and the couple extra levels.
Yeah, the story is the true draw there, and you've got it all in the title.
And it's a nice long game. It's not it's not something you'll finish in a day or two. Like, and I'm looking at you, Star Wars Force Unleashed 2, which that's one of the games I was considering trading in. I was like, oh, there's downloadable content. I don't necessarily want to trade it in. So I went ahead and downloaded the one DLC extra adventure, which was on Endor. It's like, oh, this is going to be interesting. It was 80 points. What? That's a dollar.
So does I it download- let you play as an Ewok?
No. Because the story of Force Unleashed is you've got the... you are Starkiller, Vader's apprentice. Well, in the first one, from all indications in the first game, spoiler, Starkiller dies. So this is clones of Starkiller that are in the second game.
Huh.
So this DLC takes place outside of the games. This is like its own little continuity within the DLC. And you are sent as a clone of Starkiller to Endor to stop the rebels from shutting down the generator. So you start off and you're fighting Ewoks and rebels. You work your way through to the shield generator, where the big firefight happens with Han and Chewie, and Leia gets shot, and then they end up blowing the whole thing up, and everybody's happy. So we meet up with Han and Chewie and Leia, and Han hands Leia the bomb and says, you get in there and blow this thing up, we'll hold him off. Chewie climbs into that two-legged AT-AT walker thing, the AT-ST.
Yeah.
And starts, so you fight Chewbacca in that while Han is shooting missiles at you. All right, so you work the AT-ST down, you jump on top of the AT-ST, pull Chewbacca out of it, hold him up by the throat. Han runs over and shoots at you, you spin Chewbacca around, and he gets shot in the back by Han.
Nice.
You drop him dead to the floor, walk over to Han and just impale him on your lightsaber. Like,
nice.
I feel dirty right now.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I feel dirty about all this. So then you fight your way through, and it, apparently the thing we see in the shield generator is just like the entrance to it, and it goes like underground into the planet. News to me. I've seen that movie a bazillion times. I've never seen anything like this. So you fight your way through. You're fighting stormtroopers and rebels, and you finally run across Leia, and she stands there, and she's like, after my brother fell on Hoth, I became a Jedi. And she whips her cloak off and pulls out a lightsaber. I'm like, what? What just happened?
Whoa.
Yeah.
So this is fanfic they made into a download.
Basically. Right? Basically. And then you have to fight Leia. Like, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. So you fight Leia, you beat Leia, and then you're standing there.
Did you impale her on your lightsaber?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you're standing there, and then it goes to a cutscene of Vader and the Empire on the half-built second Death Star. And the Emperor is like, yeah, your little plan with your clones of your apprentice, I've seen through that for a while now. He turns around and just force lightnings Vader to death. And that's how it ends. It's like,
nice.
What on earth did I just do? I feel like I've tainted the world.
So did you go look up, figure out what was the motivating force behind this? How it got to be, you know, insane?
No, I did that last night, and then today I traded the game in so that I could get my note color.
You just, you know, you held it in a pair of tongs that you carried to the store and put it back on the counter.
Yeah, yeah. Wear my bio suit. Oh, man. It was,
on that
it was
note,
so
I'm
weird.
Hungry.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up.
All right. See you guys next week. Hopefully we can stop Jonathan from winning.
Good luck.
Well, he actually picked his picks this week, so
this is
true.
Honestly, I don't really care about how the three of us do. I just want mentally to do well.
Me too.
I don't want to lose anybody.
No,
because apparently
it's kind of weird how freaking attached you get to people you've never met and you just know as scores.
Yeah. So, but apparently she was feeling a little burn, but she rallied and she has already given picks for the week. So we know she's good. We know she's in for this week.
She's a fighter.
Yep.
Get back on the horse. Just
That's
get
right.
right back on that horse.
That's right. We will have a drink for you since we know now that you are not able to because of your age. It's all right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
See ya.